Now, the school term's begun here in the UK, and all over the country, kids are going back to or starting school. Now, some children have the extra challenges of learning difficulties to contend with and might have been diagnosed with conditions including attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, or ADHD, dyslexia, or an autism spectrum disorder.
But how helpful are these categories for the kids who are struggling at school? Well, with the help of machine learning, Cambridge scientists have identified hundreds of children with these diagnoses, and they've identified clusters of learning difficulties that don't really map onto the diagnoses they've been given. Cognitive neuroscientist Duncan Assel led the study. So, Duncan, first of all, what was your motivation for doing this? Why did you decide to go down this path?
Well, many children struggle with learning. So there's disorders like ADHD, which you've mentioned. So prevalence rates for those kinds of things vary from, say, 3 to 8%. But actually, the proportion of children who struggle to learn is much higher than that. In government statistics, around 30% of kids don't meet their age-expected levels by the end of primary school. And we're really interested in what are the underlying causes or the underlying roots to being a struggling learner. And the way that you would normally study that would be to choose a group of kids that you're interested in, say kids with ADHD, and you would compare them to all the kids who don't. But we began to think that there were some real problems with relying solely on that approach. And the first one is that it assumes that all the children who have the same diagnostic label are all the same as each other.
And you're genuinely comparing apples with apples.
Yeah, and we're not so sure that's true.
Yeah. So who did you recruit then?
Well, we set up a centre which we called the Centre for Attention, Learning and Memory. And to that centre, professionals in education and in clinical services could refer children to us that they thought were struggling. They didn't have to have a diagnosis, but they could. Or they could have multiple diagnoses. They just had to be struggling in the areas of attention, learning or memory. So intentionally generic.
And how did you study them?
So each family would visit us, and the team of research assistants and PhD students would spend several hours doing different kinds of cognitive assessment with the children. We would have behaviour ratings for the parents to fill out, and most of the children would go through the MRI scanner.
So you've got what their performance is like as in their track record, what their performance is like in your tests, and a brain scan to go with, and what you then marry all that information, or at least you're asking a computer to marry all this information together and look for common ground or differences between them.
Essentially, yes. So we took many of the cognitive assessments and we fed them into a machine learning algorithm. So machine learning sounds kind of fancy, but actually we use it all the time in our everyday lives. So every time you type something into a search engine, behind the scenes, there's an algorithm which is learning about that information that you're feeding it. And, you know, you might notice that things appear in your adverts that correspond to what you've searched for. So our machine learning algorithm was learning about the cognitive data that we fed in from these kids. And what it learned was that there were different profiles of children with different profiles of cognitive difficulty.
What does that mean in practical terms? When you say the different profiles, are you saying, say I had a diagnosis of ADHD, I've got that label, but actually my ADHD may be quite different from the label of ADHD you might receive, for example.
Yeah, exactly. Because one thing we could then do is check about what the machine learning algorithm has learned and see whether it's really learned the categories, the diagnoses the kids came with. And the data showed very clearly that's not what the machine learning was learning. Children who had a diagnosis of ADHD could have very different profiles from each other. They could have very different cognitive strengths and difficulties. And that's a real challenge in trying to think about how we support those kids.
Mm. Does this mean then our categorization's just wrong? We're putting people into narrow bins of problems. And in fact, it's much more subtle than that. And we need much sort of narrower but wider categorization.
I think it means that the diagnoses, we're not thinking about them in the right way. So they're not kind of like medical diagnoses. They're much less discreet and clean than that. And we don't really understand what the underlying causes are. And so we still think that a diagnosis is a real landmark moment for children and families when they get some professional recognition for the challenges they've been facing. The question is, how do practitioners then best support those kids? And how do we equip those practitioners to do that? And the answer is simply knowing the diagnostic label itself isn't enough information to go on.
Indeed. At the end of the day, we're dealing with an individual here who's got a problem that they want help solving, isn't it? So does your tool give us a better insight into, OK, we can identify where this person's weaknesses are, so we can then go to the classroom and say, if you augment the training in this direction or give this person extra aids perhaps more stimulation, more practice in this area, this will help to develop this area that they are clearly deficient in?
Well, we believe so. So, for example, in the data, a large portion of the children have problems in short-term or working memory. Those children could have a diagnosis of ADHD, they could have a diagnosis of ASD, or they could have no diagnosis at all.
Autism spectrum disorder.
Or they could have no diagnosis at all. But we know that if you try and reduce working memory demands in the classroom, then kids with poor working memory will do better. So we already know that there are some interventions out there that are effective for these kinds of cognitive difficulties. It's just that they seem to cut across the traditional diagnostic boundaries that we've kind of hitherto believed in.
A lot of people are not going to have the recourse to a machine learning algorithm, an MRI scanner,
indeed,
and your brain, Duncan, with all due respect, in order to do this, are they? I mean, is this deployable on a grand scale?
Within schools, there are specialists called special educational needs coordinators, and there'll be one of those in every primary school, and they receive additional training in how to support children. And it would be useful for them to be trained in understanding what are the different areas of cognition that children can struggle in and how do we assess those.
I guess we'll have to wait and see, indeed, is what you're saying, isn't it, Duncan? Thank you very much. That's Duncan Assel, and his paper has just been published in the journal Developmental Science.